Love and Light. This is Healthy Talk Show, recording live on Thursday, December 12th, 2019. I'm Robert.
And I'm Marissa.
Show notes will be over at healthytalkshow.com/41.
On this episode of Healthy Talk Show, we have video games are hunting grounds for sexual predators and stingrays are spying on you. But first,
the flight may have just been 16 kilometers from takeoff to landing, but those 4 minutes made history around the world.
Four minutes.
It's going to change the world. I'm flying in it tomorrow. I already bought my ticket.
I'm jumping on the
4 minute.
Like, man, they barely got lift on.
Yeah, it's barely. Yeah. Anyone who's ever been on a plane. Yeah, that's true. It takes a while to get off the ground.
Flying a beaver, but it was a beaver on electric steroids.
The CEO of Harbor Air, Greg McDougall, was behind the controls of his electric float plane and compared it to driving a Tesla.
The electric motor is almost
instant. Is that a good thing?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because I know a lot of people like driving Teslas, but is that necessarily a good thing?
My only driving experience is with Priuses.
I don't know.
And I didn't like a Prius because it didn't have that oomph.
Oh, interesting.
But again, I've never driven a Tesla.
According to this, well, let's listen to what he has to say about it.
Tesla.
The electric motor is almost instant torque.
The 1956 de Havilland Beaver has been retrofitted with an electric propulsion system provided by Washington-based Magnix. The e-plane revolution...
Washington State-based.
Oh.
...has begun, albeit for short hauls. In 2015, the Airbus all-electric twin propeller successfully crossed the English Channel. Then in July 2019, Israeli firm Eviation launched its prototype Alice, a commercial all-electric passenger aircraft expected to travel 650 miles by 2022.
By 2022, 650 miles. By
2022, that's still a ways.
Mm-hmm.
Magnix is behind that venture, too. The range of Harbor Air's electric...
Oh, the same company.
...electric plane is 160 kilometers. The plan is to convert its entire fleet within 2 years, depending on approval from Transport Canada.
Very interesting. Electric airplanes for at least short... range travel, I suppose.
Yeah.
These don't look like airplanes. That's what's so... And they're definitely not... That's not long-term. Yeah, or long-range. I mean, there's no way.
And
the size and...
Yeah, how much luggage can you fit?
Yeah, there? And look at that one. That one looks like a little fighter jet.
Yeah.
How many people are you transporting in that sucker? it's cool.
It's cool,
yeah.
But...
It is
It cool. all goes back to energy density.
Yep. Ready to move on?
Well, I was just going to make a comment about nuclear, but...
Energy density and nuclear. I know you love talking nuclear.
I looked into it, but they were experimenting with the idea, but then, because everyone thinks it's so dangerous, it hasn't been explored commercially.
What, nuclear airplanes?
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's a thought.
Nuclear submarines.
Yeah.
Hey, we could do that. We could do a little nuclear submarines. Do people know about that?
Yeah.
Ask HealthyTalkShow.com. Let us know if you want to learn about nuclear submarines. I would love to do some. Nuclear submarines are cool. Kind of hard to find information about.
Yeah.
The Lancet?
All right. The Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology, BPA, have flawed analytical techniques compromise risk assets or assessments. Sorry.
And what is this all about?
Well, essentially what it's saying is the FDA has put out some guidelines or basically says that there's no risk of BPA because they've monitored exposure in people.
Mm-hmm.
But then the way they did this testing is by what's known as an indirect method. So the indirect method means they do some sort of chemical reaction to convert it to some back to BPA, which they then measure directly because they're measuring this in your urine. But when they did it by another method and they had a new indirect method of detecting these BPA byproducts, they found that the levels were much higher. So there's a graph right there. And so on the left, you can see what the indirect method kind of tested for, very low levels. And then on the right there is their direct method, so much higher levels of BPA. And they found that the higher the levels, the bigger the discrepancy. So that was kind of alarming.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially saying the people that were really had exposure to BPA it was extremely misleading in the indirect test, and it looked like they weren't really exposed.
Holy moly.
So now this is bringing into question the FDA's kind of
competency on this matter, at least as far as BPA exposure.
And
because their testing method, maybe you're looking at it through the wrong veil. Maybe you're looking at the wrong way. Oh my gosh.
So they're saying, oh, BPA isn't that big of a deal. Well, actually,
it might be.
Yeah.
And the exposure, the way you're, oh.
And just a reminder, so.
Yep. What's BPA? Why is it bad?
It's an endocrine disruptor. So that means it mimics sex hormones. So this might be linked to an increase in cancer or other like hormonal disorders, even the immune system. So, yeah, definitely people are concerned. And this was, of course, found in plastics or even that, what's it called? The heat receipt things?
Oh, I don't know.
The paper?
The receipts paper stuff?
Yeah, that stuff.
That stuff has BPA? Ooh.
Oh, yeah. So
stay away from it. Don't rub it on you.
I don't like to touch receipts anymore.
Oh my goodness. That's why you handed me all the time at the store. Holy I knew it. I knew there was something up with that. Ah, yi. Moving on. Ready?
Yeah.
RT America, new study reveals how humans age.
Stanford University-led study. It was Stanford University. You know that things are going to be good with this. They're talking about the way that we age. And it's not what we thought in the past. At least that's not what I thought. And I'm sure many people thought that it's sort of this linear aging process. It actually comes in three different steps, according to the study. Now, they did 4,000 blood tests and out of all changing of different people with different ages. They saw that there's shifts happening here. The way that proteins were in the blood. So the shifts happen at
sorry, I like how the background is just random science things, the surgery. What? That doesn't look like testing blood.
It's fine. It looks so
just
it looks good.
Stock medical
footage of science laboratory stuff.
That's 34, 60, and 78. That's where the turning points are. Now,
what is he zooming in on the blank wall?
Oh,
I'm sorry,
gosh.
It's really distracting.
You're distracting and you're not listening to the audio. We're an audio podcast, so our audio listeners are not knowing what you're talking about now. So now we have to go back a little bit. We see the messages about that audio podcast.
Steps according to the study. Now, they did 4,000 blood tests and
4,000 blood tests.
Of all changing of different people with different ages, they saw that there's shifts happening here, the way that proteins were in the blood. So the shifts happen at the age of 34, 60, and 78. That's where the turning points are. Now, the research also focused on 1,400 of these proteins in the blood, which vary significantly in people's age. So this is how they sort of tracked all of this. Now, using just 373, this is an interesting point, 373 of these proteins, they could actually find a person's age to within 3 years, which is kind of interesting. So they
kind of, he's saying a lot of things.
Oh yeah.
Actually built a footprint from the smaller number of proteins. Now what they did and with these changes, this is the interesting part. They saw that there were really no stable decrease in certain proteins, that actually there would be sudden drops and increases, and that would happen at the ages, as mentioned, 34, 60, and 74. So instead of the steady
34, 60, and 74.
Yes.
There's these massive drops or massive increases in proteins. Now, scientists believe that these findings can help understand how and why we age in the first place. And second of all, it could be useful for age-related diseases like Alzheimer's, anything with your heart, things like that. So it can also help with assessing the effects of medication depending on age as well.
What do you think about this one?
It has a lot of interesting implications. Mm-hmm. So some of this stems back, if you remember, where they did that thing with the two mice where they hooked them up so they shared blood between an old and a young mouse.
Yeah, and it didn't regenerate one or something.
So something about the blood and the proteins in the blood.
It was a youth thing.
Yeah.
An age thing, anti-aging.
Correct.
Oh, that's why.
So they they found that the blood was able to have some sort of anti-aging effects. And then the reverse happened on the younger mouse. So if the mouse was exposed to these old proteins, then he actually aged more.
Mm.
So very interesting implications. And what was also, if you guys caught what he said, that they were able to guess a person's age using 373 of these proteins within 3 years. That is scarily accurate.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It means that they... All these all these proteins, all this information that they're getting, because they're tracking a lot of how these proteins change. And there's a lot of proteins that they're monitoring, and they don't change in a linear pattern as you age. So they go in different waves, but by comparing 373 of those data points, they can really accurately predict people's age. And these proteins differ between men and women. They didn't harp on that too much in the video. But that was also a very interesting point. Yeah. So we need to study both men and women, you know, separately as biological sexes, because those proteins differ.
Yeah. But very cool.
What it kind of made some other interesting implications kind of thrown in there casually, because they said at the end they were talking about, you know, how to treat diseases, but, you know, they were talking about then these results are pertinent when considering the use of blood or blood products to treat aging or age-related diseases.
You know what's funny? Half the RT report covered that, and I just said, cut that out. Because I figured that would be some, that's the whole thing about this, is the anti-aging thing. It's very compelling.
But then what? Poor, I feel like it's just going to end up poor people are going to be selling their blood to the rich.
Yeah.
So that the rich or the wealthy who can afford these blood. Is there going to be a black market
vampires
blood thing?
Yeah, vampires, you know?
Yeah.
The rich will just be vampires. That's, that's cool. That sounds all right.
Wait. So are vampires real? Is that what we just discovered here?
CBS Evening News. Man defends YouTube videos showing him pointing guns out a hotel window.
The man suspected of practicing for a mass shooting pled not guilty today to 6 felony charges filed against him.
You drop one mag, you pick up another, right?
30-year-old Steve Homoki allegedly posted 2 threatening videos to YouTube simulating an attack, loading assault rifles and aiming them outside the window of the Sophia Hotel, police say.
Now, she said threatening videos, so I'm waiting for the video to actually be threatening. I have not heard a threat yet.
Right in the heart of downtown San Diego.
A little bit surprising, but not.
In an exclusive jailhouse interview with CBS station KFMB, Homoki called the situation overblown.
It does look pretty bad, but my true intention was never to harm anybody. I never intended to harm anybody. It was just my own personal videos, and that was just about it.
Police found a cache of weapons in his home when arrested Thursday after a tipster reported he'd gone off the deep end.
What do you do with this?
Authorities say Homoki booked the hotel room under an alias in March, posting the videos in September with the caption, "Nothing is real."
It was just kind of a curiosity. It was just kind of like a little miniature art project just for myself.
The hotel sits on a busy street where thousands of people travel every day.
So he posts them with the title, "Nothing is real."
Yeah.
So I, okay.
This is really
blown out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he just made a first person video game. Has anyone played a video game lately?
Yes.
Grand Theft Auto takes place in LA. It has Los Angeles landmarks where you can do all kinds of horrendous things. If he was threatening people and what's not even.
Yeah.
It kind of.
I didn't even see him pointing the weapon like at anybody
people
really.
People or anything really. It's just a first person.
I got that.
It's creepy. It's a creepy video. Not something I'd want to watch.
Yeah, but
personally.
It looks like a game. It felt like a video game.
It looks like a freaking video game. It looks like a VR video game. That's. If that bothers people, then maybe we should look at the video games.
Well.
Does that lead us into our next story? You like that?
That's true.
You good?
Yeah.
Good Morning America. Sexual predators reportedly targeting kids on video games and apps.
Online gaming, now an increasingly popular place for your kids to be targeted for a new kind of stranger danger. Extensive report in the New York Times charts how video games and online chat apps are the latest hunting grounds where your children are being targeted.
Wait, is this?
I love this. Online games and chat apps are now the hunting grounds for predators. It was just chat rooms 10 years ago. So it's not, just say chat. Well, or I don't know. It's the same thing. It's a chat application. It's the same. It really is very similar.
I remember, when did the first Halo come out?
Oh, I don't know. 2001, 2002?
Because that had chatting and that was a big thing.
Oh, that's Halo 2. Halo 2 had it.
Oh, so, well, you were going to be chatting with strangers.
Yeah, with voice chat, too, and that's really scary.
I remember that. Yeah. Stranger danger.
Stranger danger. Let's hear. You want to learn more about the new
the new one.
New age of stranger danger.
In one case, a mother found graphic language and imagery of sexual acts posted by others on her 13-year-old son's Discord account. That's a platform for gamers to chat while playing.
Holy moly, Discord? HealthyTalkShow.com/Discord if you'd like to join our Discord.
Yeah.
We're there. We love hanging out with you. If you want to join, chat with us. Moving on with Discord.
Discord says they have a zero tolerance policy for any illegal activity, and they work closely with authorities to keep our users safe.
Expert. Crap. We might not be on Discord too much longer, actually, after that.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't know they actually police their... No. Not that I care about that stuff, but I didn't...
No one.
Yeah, they actually don't have the mechanism to police anything. Let's be real. Nobody does.
Point out that after reaching out to potential victims, predators often try to groom children through gifts such as gaming currency like Minecraft coins and Fortnite V-Bucks, leading
Minecraft coins and Fortnite V-Bucks? Wow.
Them down a path to eventually sending explicit photos online. The industry.
Holy moly. Wow. These kids are being. Wow. Yeah, I can see that though. Online currencies, all these things are being. Ooh.
Puts the role of monitoring what's going on right back in parents' laps. The Entertainment Software Association tells us, we encourage parents to play with their kids and utilize the parental controls to help ensure an appropriate experience, including limiting or blocking online interactions with other players.
Wow, they actually put it back on the parents? Oh my gosh, why would they do that? That's awful. Parents, watch what your kids are playing. Wow, what a concept.
Past fall, GMA teamed up with South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson and a group of 11-year-olds to take a closer look at the potential dangers of playing popular video games. The kids took turns playing Fortnite and Apex Legends, both multiplayer games that can connect your child with anywhere from 1 to 100 strangers. In a matter of minutes into the Fortnite game... The profanity starts. Language inappropriate, we can't let you hear it. The South Carolina Attorney General notes just how easy the communication is, and it's more than the foul language.
That's where the predators are going. They're going where the kids are.
That's where the predators always go. Yeah. They always go where the kids are. That's why you as a parent need to keep your eyes on the kid.
That's
kind of true. The concept. I don't understand. Yeah. These games are super. I don't blame you. I am a former video gamer myself. I do not understand these damn games. I would cut the kid off and say, don't play these games. They're too fast. Play some Super Mario. These other games are too damn fast. Super Mario World, great game for the Super Nintendo.
Hell yeah.
Ah, what else? Anything else on that?
No.
The video games. Sky News. Smart toys could let strangers into your home and possibly predators, sexual predators.
With some of the latest must-have toy tech gadgets come serious security concerns. The consumer group Which has found a number of smart toys could leave children at risk of being contacted by strangers.
Is anyone surprised? Come on.
Well, no.
We tested 7 children's connected toys that are sold across major retailers in the UK, such as John Lewis, Amazon, Argos, and Smiths, and found that 3 of them had security flaws that would enable someone else to connect to the toy and potentially communicate with the child playing with it.
Smart toys in the UK are being marketed to children as young as 3 years old. The NCC group...
Why does a 3-year-old need a smart toy?
Yeah, why does a 3-year-old need to be marketed to?
Yeah.
Let's just go there. Shouldn't you be marketed to the 3-year-old's parents?
Works with the government on legislation when it comes to cybersecurity.
The owner should really sit with the manufacturer. They're the people that are designing the toys. They're the people that are responsible for manufacturing them. They need to be responsible for ensuring that the toy is safe before it goes on sale.
Just don't buy stuff that's connected to the internet. You don't need shit connected to the internet. You really don't. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff coming out about Ring right now. People are getting hacked left and right. Well, next episode, we just don't have time to cut it together tonight. You need to protect yourself. Get a really good router.
Yeah.
And stop connecting crap to it. Only connect your laptop, your phone. That's it. That's all you need. What do you don't need cameras and all this other crap.
Why do all the toys need to be on the internet?
Doesn't make sense. That's dumb. Yeah. That's really dumb. That's going to slow down your internet too. It's going to slow down your throughput, especially if they're 5G. Spying on you. Yeah, if it's spying on you 24/7, you're going to have really crappy video game experience, Netflix experience. It's going to be really bad.
Yeah. And just give your kids a box. They'll probably have more fun with that anyways. They'll build a port or something.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Yeah. They don't want a Wi-Fi thing.
Jeez, you're right. Ready to move on?
Yep.
ACLU, ICE and CBP, that's Customs Border Protection, are secretly tracking us using stingrays. We're suing. This is very interesting. The ACLU has been asking ICE and CBP for basic information about this program for years, and now we're asking a federal court to intervene. In October 2019, Univision reported that an ICE deportation officer used a stingray to track down an immigrant suspected of unlawful reentry into the country. Little is publicly known about the use of stingrays in ICE and CBP immigration enforcement operations, but we know they've used the technology repeatedly. For more than 2 years, ICE has been processing our FOIA requests, that's FOIA requests from the ACLU, for more information on its use of stingrays. For its part, CBP has claimed they were unable to locate or identify any responsive records, but that's completely implausible. That's an completely implausible response. As we've cited multiple times, a December 2016 report from the House Committee on Oversight, the government reform disclosures that as of 2016, CBP and ICE had spent combined $13 million to purchase and operate at least 92 cell site simulators, also known as stingrays. We're going to get into what stingrays are in a second.
Wow. That's...
Yes.
Oh my God.
The public has the right to know if and how often ICE and CBP are using stingrays, which were originally intended for use by military and intelligence agencies for civil immigration enforcement operations. We also have the right to know if the agency have taken any steps to protect the privacy of any bystanders swept up by the stingrays, where they inform people of immigration, court proceedings when a stingray has been used against them, and what limits exist of the technology. Very disturbing.
Man.
Now, before we go into, we have a report from a few years ago on stingrays. Before I go into this, I want to criticize ACLU a little bit. Everybody's using stingrays. Local police can get these through the feds, and they can get these on like loaner. But again, the thing about stingrays, which we'll learn, is you have to sign in. You have to sign away any. You can't disclose you use stingrays. You can't.
Dang.
Let's learn about the stingray.
That's really messed up.
It's very disturbing. ABC 11, the stingray, how law enforcement can track your every move. This is a report from August 29th, 2017, 2 years ago.
It doesn't matter. This can find you. The common name, stingray. Technically, a cell site simulator. First developed for military use, it's made its way into local law enforcement. It can track a person down to the room they're in if they have their cell phone on them. Stingrays turn these into homing devices. And that's just the beginning.
Cell phones into homing devices. That's what they showed a cell phone. That's completely true. And it's quite a good summary for 23 seconds.
Yeah. Plus, that's always disturbing how this thing that's supposed to be military to protect us in a war. Why is it being used?
And these things are data sucks.
These are tracking devices. This is emitting a signal.
The phone. He's holding up a phone in his hand, cell phone.
This is GPS.
Mike Mino with the North Carolina branch of the ACLU has been watching the spread of stingrays for years.
It's my understanding that the software that a lot of these devices use is capable of capturing things like your text messages, the numbers you're calling and receiving calls from. We know for sure they're getting people's location.
Here's how it works. Cell phones are always trying to connect to nearby cell towers. A stingray acts like a cell tower decoy. In what's called a man-in-the-middle attack, it tricks cell phones into thinking it's the nearest cell tower, phones connect to the stingray, and police can access a range of personal information. But they don't just get intel on one phone. Every phone nearby is forced to divert to the stingray.
Wow.
So that's what it's doing, because it's acting as the local cell tower, and your phone grabs the local's tower. Now, you can identify physical towers if you want to go out and go find them yourself. You can do that. So you have to constantly be monitoring what tower you're connected to and say, why is there a tower there that's not actually there? That's really difficult to do.
Yeah.
It's possible, but again, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But this exists, and this is well-known. This is published information that... Yeah. They just collect all the data. And
that's a lot of data.
Yeah. And if it's unencrypted data, like everything you're sending over the internet that's not encrypted, so everything pretty much you do, you're in trouble. Use a VPN at least. VPN is a good way to encrypt data. It's very simply.
Calls are passed on to a real cell tower. Data scooped up stays with police.
When you ask them why they're using it, they'll say, well, we're targeting certain individuals. But the nature of the technology is so expansive that you cannot use this without countless innocent people having their data captured as well.
The I-team has learned at least three law enforcement agencies in the Triangle have been using cell site simulators, but they don't like to talk about it and may not be allowed to. These two purchase orders show Raleigh and Durham police bought variations of the Stingray within the last 10 years. Raleigh's purchase order, obtained by the I-team 2 years ago, shows the department paid more than $120,000 for the device.
Ooh.
Separate documents obtained by
the device that doesn't exist,
the ACLU, show Durham spent nearly twice that.
Wow.
In spite of those purchase orders, both departments claimed not to be using one when the I-team asked.
Yeah, what are those? Then they just wasted the money? Okay, good, you're incompetent. Vote you out. Get out of the office.
Recently, Raleigh says they stopped using theirs because of outdated technology. With the Stingray, though,
so they got a new Stingray.
Yeah, they had to buy a new one.
Is part of the deal. Durham's contract with the device's manufacturer includes a strict non-disclosure clause, not just about the Stingray, but about the agreement itself and its subject matter.
There is such secrecy around this, and I think it's because it's so powerful.
I have a cell site simulator, and we do use it.
Wake Sheriff Donnie Harrison is the only current law enforcement officer we could find here or elsewhere willing to talk even a little about the device and how it's used.
It's a very useful tool that we use, not only for the bad guys, but for looking people that are lost, looking people that say they're going to commit suicide.
That is disturbing. So they're using this device. He just admitted he's using this device in ways that it's not supposed to be used. He just admitted that.
So now they're using it for
He just admitted
everything.
That as a local police.
Okay, replay that, actually.
That is disturbing. That is bad. This is local sheriff, Donnie Harrison. See if he still has a job.
Only current law enforcement officer we could find here or elsewhere willing to talk even a little about the device and how it's used.
It's a very useful tool that we use, not only for the bad guys, but for looking people that are lost.
So finding lost children, because you're just sucking up all the data, so you know everything. So yeah, I know. Hey, I saw your nudie yesterday. Nice. Yeah, that looked good.
Yeah.
What the fudge? This is awful. Whoa.
Looking people that say they're going to commit suicide. Sometime we have used them for children that's missing that have phones. And basically, that's all about all I'm going to say about it.
Harrison told us.
You already said enough. Thank you.
Yeah.
You said more than enough. Your few words, you've said more than enough, my friend. Thank you so much. We need to outlaw these or use encryption. I don't use encryption.
It almost goes back to the children, too. Oh, we got to find the lost.
So frustrating. That's bad. These are bad. 28 seconds.
Wake County has had a cell site simulator since 2008. He insists they're always within the law and always get a warrant first.
Yeah, right.
But there's very little public documentation of those warrants or of the use of Stingrays in general here or in any of the cities in which we looked.
But no, we don't like to talk about it. You know, when a general goes in battle, he doesn't give out his battle plan.
Why are they into battle?
Exactly. Why are the police, why are local police going into battle? Another criticism of the police. Let's talk about, let's go back one
Stingrays
more time.
Stingrays in general.
Good point.
Here or in any of the cities in which we looked.
But no, we don't like to talk about it. You know, when a general goes in battle, he doesn't give out his battle plan.
You're not a general. You're not a military. You are serving your local community. You're not a general going into battle, dude. What are you talking about? Why do you have stars on your collar? What's up with your uniform? Now I'm looking at this guy a little differently. Think about this.
I'm sorry. With the video, he has these cards drawn up by
Thank you
his
for keeping
daughter.
Me safe. Yeah. You're the best, number one.
Yeah, trying to.
Yeah, because he saves the children with his Stingray.
It's about the children.
It's the classic question. Safety or privacy?
Privacy.
Privacy. Privacy.
Privacy.
You are not safe if you do not have your privacy. If that dingleberry can spy on everything you're doing through your cell phone, through that stupid Stingray device. Look at the design of this thing. This thing looks like a piece of shit. Look at the design. These things are not very well designed.
And it's sucking up all
and it's
data.
Just sucking up everything you're doing wirelessly. Get rid of Wi-Fi. Get rid of it all.
Yeah.
We're going wired. We're going away from the wireless stuff. It's just too easy to scoop it up. And people just don't. With the cars being broken into, cars being compromised wirelessly with little software-defined radios. It's just getting...
It's always a wireless.
It's wireless. We, yeah. We don't need the Stingrays, but we need love. And we need light.
Help show us some love by heading over to healthytalkshow.com/support. Your support means we remain unbiased and commercial-free and can tell you things like the Stingray and give you great advice like how to protect your privacy. So give us some love at healthytalkshow.com/support.
That's correct. How much does a cup of coffee cost? I don't know. You tell me. Give us some love. How much is this information worth to you? How much is the entertainment worth to you? Value for value, healthytalkshow.com/support. We record this show, podcast, live on Mondays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 3 a.m. UTC over at healthytalkshow.com/live. We have an email address, ask@healthytalkshow.com. We love it when you write to us. Call us, 509-878-3229. We will listen to your voicemails. We love that form of love as well. And another form, you could show us some love in some other love form. We're using the love a lot. Love, 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 love. healthytalkshow.com/social for all of our social media links. Love and light.
Love and light.
But they limit something called freedom. Oh, my God, the CPU cycle thing. We might have to reboot the computer. That's what I was afraid of. Well, good thing I didn't do it during the show. Again, we have a good hour warm-up period. This is great. Keep going. Come on. Come on. Come on, computer. This is so frustrating. So the why the wheel, exactly, it's Windows. There's something, there's Windows some is doing shit in the background. Thing. Yeah. Windows. Stingrays and Windows are spying on you, by the way.
Everything is spying you.
See? Your update is ready. No, I don't want... No.
No.
Get the fuck out of my... Yeah, we're... No. No, you're not restart. No, restart later. Do not restart my computer in the middle of my podcast. What the fudge, man? This is off. See? Windows 10, you are so intrusive. Gosh.
You should... this is great extra content.
Yeah. Great extra content. I just hope the damn computer can run. Oh, yeah, we're recording this, too.
Yeah, that's what's funny.
Yeah, bonus clip. Yeah. On the pod. I'll put this at the end.
Yeah, for our Patreon.
Yeah, this will be for our Patreon.
We don't have Patreon. Yeah,
this will be for our Patreon. This will be for our non-existent Patreon, everybody. I will put this at the end.
We'll pay wallets.
So. Yeah, we'll pay wallet. Yep, exactly. Perfect. All right, let's check this out.